Okay, so we've been dealing with the question of a shtar, and particularly when you have a shtar with an eid pasul in it, right? We saw it all came up because the guy says all 10 of you have to be eidim. So he said, oh, if one of them is pasul, then that's going to be a real problem and undermine the shtar. Okay? And then the question is, oh, let's say he only says, you know, two of you got to be eidim. Is the fact that one of them, of the other people, are apostles, is that actually going to be problematic? So we sort of assume that, no, right? We know we assume the guy who signed, who was apostle, signed B'toras Tanai and not B'toras Eidos. So he's there, but he's really not one of the Eidim. And really the big question that arises in Tosos and our discussion with the Rambam is like, why, right? How does that make sense? You have a shtar. The shtar is supposed to prove something. And on the bottom line are signed Eidim who are apostles. Right, so you saw two approaches to how to deal with that. Right, Toso says basically we have to really be able to construe it that they're not signed there as part of the eidim. Right, we can sort of assume that the first two are there because of kavod, or maybe dafka the first two are the real eidim and everyone else is clearly just a secondary addition. So anything after the first two is superfluous. Right, the Rambam seems to say that it's only a problem if we know that they signed together. But if they signed separately, even if they all meant to be Eidim, that's not going to cause a problem, right? And he basically says, whenever you can construe it, that they didn't sign it together, and that there isn't a problem, we assume that there's no problem. Even though it seems pretty clear that there's a problem, right? Well, in Tosos, we sort of were convinced that you need to have a pretty good, good argument, a good pitch, that would say that you're not in violation, you know, that it really makes sense that you're not not in possession of a pasul eid who signed the Torah Seidus, right? That was our two approaches, and we saw that it aligned with the general shitos of the Rambam and Tosos, right? The Rambam thinks that a shtar is a chafsa shel eidus, but we also saw in Reb Chaim really goes back and forth on this. It's on the one hand, if it's a chafsa shel eidus, because then we shouldn't have any problem of Eidim Psulim ever because each Eid is totally independent, right? So as long as you have two Eidim and they contribute to the creation of this Shtar, it should be fine. Right? His problem with that is clearly that that's not true, right? Because at the end of the day, we do care if you have Pasul Eidim, right? So what the Reb Chaim goes and says is that, oh, in terms of the actual ksiva, in terms of the Haggadah's Eidim, those are separate, right? But in terms of the creation of the shtar, the Chafsa Shel Eidos, then you could have a real problem of Eidim Psulim, right? How does that really, really help us? Because that leads us to say that when the Rambam says that we only care if they signed it together and were pasul, but if they signed it separately and one of them's pasul, we just sort of ignore the pasul one. Right, well, how can that make sense? So Reb Chaim says, because in terms of the Haggadah's Eidos, they're separate. And in terms of communicating the Eidos, those are two totally separate things. Each Eid stands alone. Right? As they sign, they're committing the information and the transmission thereof, tochidei they're signing, as an independent action, as opposed to the case of where they sit down and they create the shtar together. That's a Maisa Eidos, right? If a shtar is a chefta shel eidos, so creating a shtar is, right, it's a maisa eidos, or they're being meyed, let's say, on the fact that they're creating the shtar, right? Which creates a maisa eidos, which together would be a problem if one of them is karov l'pasul, right? So in terms of the end of the day, if there are eidim who signed b'toras eidos, who are pasul, that's not a problem, because the haggados are separate. But in terms of the chefta shel eidos, if they created it together and one of them's pasul, then you have a problem of nitsa echamim karvo pasul. Right? As opposed to Tosos, who thinks a shtar is just eidos bechtav, so it really just parallels 100% the question of eidim who are psulim, who go to bezdin with eidim who are kasher. If they're made together, you're in trouble. If not, then not. Right? So if these two weren't there b'toras eidos, but they're there, so okay, that's not a problem. Just like if someone comes to Bezdin and he's not being made, He's not going to pass with the kind of Eidim, but if he's planning on being Mayid, then you'd have Rav Himsa, Echamim Karavu Pasul. Okay, that's Sunday in a very, very small nutshell, right? So the Tosos who holds Eidim Bishtar is really Eidos Bishtar, says it parallels the Dinim of Eidos in general, right? And the Rambam, who says that it's a Cheftza, that a Shtar, let's say, is a Cheftza Shal Eidos, says on the one hand, it doesn't parallel the regular Dinim of Eidos, because we don't have Eidim who are communicating right now. We have Eidos that already exists, which we are then, you know, being, let's say, understanding or being interpolating from the Shtar. But the Eidos already exists objectively. It's a Cheftza Shal Eidos. But when you create it, you're creating a Cheftza Shal Eidos, and that's a Maase Eidos. Okay. All right, therefore, if they sit down together, they're apostle. If they come separately, they won't. Toch kedei that diyon, Tosos adds in a very interesting, an interesting point. Right? Tosos says, right, how do we know this? Right, how do we know that what I'm saying is true? That, you know, it's all very nice to say, oh, well, I can interpret that the Edim who signed on top are not really there, right? That they're really apostle, but they knew that they're apostle and they weren't planning on signing Bataras Edos, right? That's all fine, except how do I know, right? So Tosos points out the following. Okay, sorry. Let's start with the Gemara. Gemara asks, right, this case that we've just been discussing. So Tosos says, V'im tomar, l'manda amar mishum edim, d'das ba'al ashtar l'achtim mishum edim, v'im chosman l'fi daito, why don't we always worry that the people who signed the shtar signed the Bitoras Eidos, and therefore we should have a problem of potentially Eidos Shabbat and Sabbat Lakula? Why do we assume that if we have Pasul Eidos, those Eidim are signing as perfectly acceptable, kavod signatures as opposed to actual Eidim? Why can we assume that? So for Omer Rabbeinu Tam, shiny shtar, a shtar is special. The Eidim achasumin nasik mishanechgra edusam bebenzdin. The shtar is special because we treat their Eidos as if they already presented it to Benzdin and that it was already checked. Right? Their Eidos was already established and inspected in Benzdin. Okay, in a similar vein, the Gemara Daf Gimel says, "Bedinu debekiyum shtaros nami lo libayi." You don't actually need kiyum shtaros. You don't actually need to prove and check that these Eidim signature is really their signature. Kid Reish Lakish, like Reish Lakish, right? Reish Lakish is Yisod. Eidim achasum al shtar nasu kumishenechbra idusan bebezdin. Eidim who sign on a shtar is as if their Eidos was already confirmed and presented in Bezdin, and therefore it's as if it was already checked out, and we don't even need to check that these signatures are true. Rabbanan hu de'itzrech v'hacha misham iguna akilu barabanan. Mid the Rabbanan, we do require you to actually check into the signatures, but that is only a secondary derabanan requirement, which we are mikil on in cases of aguna. And that's why b'fanei nechta works. Okay? So Tosos basically says, but both the reason why we don't need kiyum shtaros midaraisa, you don't actually need to prove that the signatures are true, and we assume that the signatures that are there not only are true, but that the shtar is kosher and only the kosher edim signed midaraisa eidos, because a shtar is as if it's nechker already in bezin, so as if it's already been inspected and accepted. All right, so the question is sort of why, right? Why do we assume? Why does the shtar protect itself? It's like a self-fulfilling eidos, right? The shtar is eidos, right? We know that the shtar's eidim are real eidim and that they signed properly because it's a eidos and it says that it's kosher. Because it's a shtar, it's kosher. How do we know it's a shtar? Because it's kosher, because it's a shtar. Right? The shtar says that the shtar is a shtar. So it must be a shtar, and therefore it follows the rules of shtar, so it says that you don't need to check that it's a good shtar. It seems a little bit circular, right? That's a bit of a conundrum. So Rashi's answer is a lot easier to understand. Okay, Rashi says, Amri lakasher, lemada amar mishum tnai, afagav de ichtim beresha, karov apostol, ha'edus diskayim beruuyim la'edus, v'hu yachshav v'tnai, why? Dimistama esak shirim mina l'shem edus v'ha'karov v'tnai. He says, we can sort of assume, we can presume that the ksherim were mina l'shem edus. Right. Again, here's another just example of Rashi's shita. Nasa kmishanech kreitusim bebezdin. What does that mean? So Rashi says dilo chatzif inish leziyufin. Right, because people wouldn't fake it. Right, people are scared of writing apostle shtar. So ultimately.
What?
This is a self-protecting agency of shtaros. Okay, so according to Rashi,
people just want to join our shir, you know, snack in the middle. It's very nice. Right. So how do you explain that the shtar says that the shtar is correct? Right. If I really establish that the shtar is true. I'd say, oh, I need to really come and have a police report that the shtar is true, right? We need to check it out. We need to prove it. Once you prove that it's all true, then you can come and say, it's all right. Now that we know it's all true, we can rely that it was all done properly, right? But I don't need to do that. Kiyum shtar says derabanan. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, oh, right, lo chatzif. It's basically lo chatzif. How do I know it's not faked? How do I know it's not mezuyah? Well, chatzai finish. Right? Basically, people are scared of faking a shtar. Okay? How do I know that they made their signs properly? Because, right, mistama, how do I know it's a dafka the ksherim signed? Only sharing. The Rashi says, "Mistama sharing were opposed." Right. What does that basically boil down to? How's that? Why is the shtar self-protecting? What mechanism does it use? How does it make sense? Looking for crab responses. For Rashi. Yeah.
Can you explain the question a little more?
What's the basis, right? Shtars are self-protective. I have a shtar. The shtar says that the shtar is kosher and that the shtar was done properly. How do I know that? Because the shtar said so. Why do I trust the shtar? Because the shtar says I should trust the shtar. Right? It's circular. That's our question. Right? Rashi says, this is Rashi. And I should really use a different color, so we will. Rashi here says...
Go ahead. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
No, nothing.
Okay. Right? Rashi says that we know the only Kshirim sign because Mistama only Kshirim sign, and it's not Mizuyah because Lo Chatzif Inesh was a Yufe. Right? People aren't so brazen as to fake a shtar. Okay? So according to Rashi, ultimately, how does this work? Why is the shtar self-protecting?
Because Mistama, it's a valid shtar. We just assume that people write valid shtar out and valid people write valid shtar out.
Right, very good, right? We're assuming, right? Or similarly to, it's not quite assuming, but it's an omdina, right? We have this rule of thumb, we have an omdina. It's an omdina, right? We have this umtana that says, okay, here's the facts. The facts is I have this piece of paper, right? I have this piece of paper, it says X, Y, Z. Now, should I assume that it's true? Well, actually, in general, people take shtaros very seriously, right? People in general don't falsify shtaros, and people are afraid of messing it up. Usually when you make a shtar, you have a sofer there, and you have, you know, a rabbi with a big beard. His job is to check over the shtar. Right? Everyone's wedding, you know, weddings, there's always that. There's always like 20 minutes of everyone like looking at the ksuba and being like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, is it good? Is it bad? What's that? Is that there? Is that like a smudge? Right? It's a shtar. We take, you know, contracts are always a big deal. There's always a lawyer present. Right? All the way Rashi is saying, look, in general, people don't falsify shtars. Right? We take shtars very seriously. People are not going to fake a contract. Right? Forging a contract is a big deal. You generally don't assume that. Unless you have reason to really believe that it's true, you're not. Because the consequences, you know, come down on you like a ton of bricks. Number one. Number two is not only that, but what do you do when you have write up a contract? You have a lawyer present, right? So if you're going to have a lawyer, right, people are afraid of being caught. And, right, so is a lawyer present, basically. So essentially, Rashi says, I can trust a shtar, not because there's something magical about a shtar that says, oh, you can trust me, right? But because, in general, I have an umdina that if there's a shtar, it wasn't forged. People don't generally forge contracts. It's very risky business. And once people are writing a contract, there's a lawyer present, and you're going to do it properly, right? We can assume that people took it very seriously, and because people take it seriously, they did it properly. Right, so you have a very logical explanation. What's missing in this explanation? Starts with a G, and it comes with a claw hand motion. It's a very important sight. The Gishman, right? It's no Gishman, right? Rashi answered sort of like, oh, there's this umdana that like, well, you know, we can sort of assume that it's all good. The problem with this answer is also that it doesn't seem to really fit with what we're saying. Right? It's all very nice to say we have this umdana that in general, right, it's not mezuyah and mistama shemim chasmu. But what if the following happens? And this is something that we have, right, cases of in the Gemara. Let's say the guy says, I never wrote that. Right? Let's say the Bailim or the Edom come and say, no, that's not true. Let's say the Bailim comes and say, I never wrote this shtar. Right? Let's say the two Edom on the tippy-tippy top are puzzle. Shouldn't we have to be choshesh? Right? Logically speaking, this umdana seems great, but it doesn't really fit with what we know to be true. When it comes to the dina, we actually give quite a lot of authority to the shtar, even when this umdana doesn't really have that much convincing power. Especially, that's right, if you take like the Rambam or Tosfos, or at least the Rambam says, as long as I can construe it, we're good. Right? If you can the umdana says, I have to be convinced. Right? Lemaisa, I would need to be convinced that this umdana is still true in order for me to treat this shtar as kosher. The Rambam says, I don't need to be convinced at all. I just need to be able to come up with a good case to make it kosher. As long as I could construe such a case, I'm fine, says the Rambam. So clearly the Rambam doesn't think this way, right? That's number one. Number two is, Tosfos said, right? What is Tosfos' question? Tosfos said, right? Wait a second. By the logical assumptions of this Shita of Reish Lakish, shouldn't we assume that in general, when we have Psulim signed on a shtar, they're there as Edim? Because we assume that when a guy has multiple people signed on the shtar, he wants all of them to be Edim. Right? So Rabbi Natan says no. Right? Shiny shtar, the Edim chasum and nasa kimishin after I do some bebezdin. Right? The shtar itself basically testifies to the fact that it's kosher. Right? The shtar says, oh, I'm made it, then I'm kosher. I'm a shtar and I'm made it, then I'm kosher. So I'm good. Right? Reb Chaim also says, you know, said basically along these lines, right? The shtar in and of itself, as a chatzos shel edus, is made that it's a kosher shtar, right? This was and graph. And they will say that actually what happens is the following. The stars, the edus on the piece of paper, according to Tosos, because it's edus v'chtav, and according to the Reb Chaim, because it's chepta shel edus, you have, well, basically what they say is the star is made on its own kashrus, right? You have, what? Well, how does that work? So since Reb Chaim says Tosfos, well, the Tosfos is going to say, because, right, the Eidos Bechdav, it's Eidos Bechdav. You have two Eidim here saying that we're kosher, right? Why do we trust two Eidim when they say we're good Eidim? Because they're Eidim, right? So the same thing applies to, right, to case of a shtar. This would be with the Tosfos. Right? I have Eidos Bechdav that says, I should trust this. Reb Chaim says, basically, you have a Chefta Shel Eidos, and that Chefta Shel Eidos, again, basically says that it, whatever it is, that it's being, it's testifying to. Right? So ultimately, it's essentially self-defending because it, as a Chefta Shel Eidos, is testifying also the fact that it's Eidos. Right? Now, if you take away that, then you have to say, oh, it's more of a nomadin. If you take, now, moving this to like our original question, how does that work? If you take the Nesivus' approach, you have two Edom at the beginning of the event, and they just say that, oh, we can now are speaking anan sadi to everything that happened afterwards, right? Then I would say, oh, it only works because of this nomadin, right? Because I have two Edom that say that this star was originally being made. Right? And now I can construe everything afterwards. But all that's based on an Odina, right? And an Anan Sabi. So I would put this within the Nesivus' understanding of Staros, right? That you have Anan Sabi based on the Star. The Star creates the Anan Sabi, but it's only because we're convinced of our construal of what's happening from the writing of the Shkar on, right? As opposed to over here, according to Tosfos on Reb Chaim, the Eidos Bechdav of the Shkar, right, is Eidos, so it defends itself. It says, oh, we're Eidos, we're kosher, right? It moves us along. Just like I don't need two Eidim to prove that they're kosher Eidim before they can testify. So the Bechdav also, I don't need to prove the Kiyom Shtaros that these signatures are correct. It's Eidos Bechdav and Eidos is here. Reb Chaim is going to be a little bit trickier, right? Chefta Shel Eidos. Because in order to say that it's a Chefta Shel Eidos, what do I need to know? That it was actually created as a Chefta Shel Eidos, right? It's not, it needs to be made into a Chefta Shel Eidos. Eidos v'chdav, right, is basically no different than the two Eidim walking into Bezdin themselves. When it comes to a Chefta Shel Eidos, which is a shtar, I actually might need to prove that it's a real Chefta Shel Eidos. Okay, what would be huge nafkamina to be? Right, a very important nafkamina could be the following. Is, what if, let's say two quick cases. Let's say someone comes, let's say the Bailim come and say that it's Mezuyev. Right? Let's say the Bible come and they say, oh, yeah, the shtar is a fake. And how much should I believe them? How much do I really, Meik or Hadin, care what they're saying? Right? Number one. Number two, what if the Bible come and say, oh, I wrote that shtar, but I paid it back? Right? How is that going to play out? So I think, one second, I wrote it down over here already. It's already on the Google Doc. Right, the following. So according to Rashi, right, if the Baal objects And he says that he never wrote it, right? Or the Edim deny it. We should believe them, right? I think. Because ultimately, or we should have to doubt it. Because once they say it's potentially Mezuyah, then I can say, right, if they're towing, if you have Tainas Mezuyah, which is black again, towing Mezuyah, then we should say, we should be Choshesh, right? Because it's only an Omdina. As opposed to for the Reb Chaim and the Grach, oh, so I was like, Tori Mizuyah, and Haraiti, I would say, also we should be Choshesh. Right? Now, I might not go all the way and accept it, because at the end of the day, it's only a Chashash. Right? But my whole Omdina is saying, oh, well, this all seems to work out. If they claim against it, then I should have to really be worried, Mikra Hadin. As opposed to four Tosfos, which is never be Choshesh, Mikra Hadin in the Raisa, right? Because the Eidos, Mishdar, says that it's kosher. I don't care that the Bailim say it's all fake. I have Eidim, Bechtav, who say otherwise. According to Chaim, I would split. I would say like this. Mizuyah, you'd actually have to be Choshesh. Right? Because Mizuyah says that, actually, no, one second. Over here, Paraiti, I say not Choshesh. Sorry. For the following reason, I think this is important. I worked it at all.
Exit.
What's that?
Exit. Screen, please.
What'd you say?
I just want to ask if you could exit screen sharing.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. One second. So let me just clarify here for a second. Not Choshesh. I'll clarify this and then we'll go back to that. Why wouldn't that be Choshesh for Paraiti, for Rashi? Very important to say. Shtar Chabiyadi Maibar, right? I wrote a shtar. I'm motivated that I wrote the shtar. I gave you the shtar. Right, as proof that I borrowed from you, and now I want to claim that I paid you back even though I never got the shtar back. Is that believable? Is that reasonable? No, right? I don't think so. Shtar Chabiyadi, my body. Why do I have your shtar back? In terms of the Umdina, right, your Umdina is still ironclad that I never paid back. Right? In terms of the idea of Mizuyah, I can say, okay, interesting, right? I mean, we generally assume that people won't do it, but if you claim that it is, then you have to be Choshesh. But we wouldn't have to be Choshesh that you paid it back without getting the shtar back, right? So our Umdina is very ironclad in terms of this, right? Now, she would not be Choshesh for Paraiti, but we would be Choshesh for Mizuyah. On the other hand, for Tosfos, I would say we're never going to be Choshesh for either one. Right? Because the Eidos Bechtav said, Bechtav says, you owe this guy money. Then the Shtar is Kasher. We have two Eidim, Bechtav and their Eidim. Right? They're all in there. And they also say that you owe him money. Right? So then we never have to be Choshesh. According to Reb Chaim, I would distinguish between two cases. I would be between the Zuyah. And between Paraiti, how would that go? So you could say the following. When it comes to Mizuyah, we could say that we're not Choshesh. Because I have in front of me a shtar. Which is Chesed Shleivus, right? But what does the Shtar say? It's a Chesed Shleivus to the effect that there was a Halva, right? It doesn't necessarily say that you never paid back. Because the Edom don't see that, right? As opposed to Paraiti, says, well, I don't know. They don't actually have any Chatz Shalidus that there's no Pirel, right? Just Chatz Shalidus on the Maisa Tzivas, I guess. That there was a Halva. Doesn't say that it would never pay back. Right? Although this is a little bit tricky, because I could also, between Tosos and the Chaim, it's a little bit hard to know sort of which one's more compelling which way. And I'll just put this in just to confuse everyone, but just bear in mind that where you could really switch these a little bit, depending on how you're construal of their svaras, because I could also say that, well, for Tosos, the Edim, Bichtav, what are they verbally saying in their text? A borrowed money from B. You could say that's the only thing they're testifying to, right? As opposed to Reb Chaim was saying, it's a chefta shel edos which functions independently. So he can also testify, perhaps, that he never paid back. What do we think? Actually, I'm kind of getting convinced more to switch these. What do you guys think?
I think I like the first explanation.
This is the way it is now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna leave it the way it is, but I'm gonna put down, I'm gonna note the possibility of switching. Right, so Mizuyah, we would not be Choshesh. But Paraiti, we could be Choshesh. Actually, I think it makes more sense in Tosos stuff, because the more that the Shar is a chefta of the Edos of the Edim actually saw, the more I can say that they can only be made on what they saw. According to Reb Chaim, you can maybe better argue that it's able to be made even on other stuff, because it is a chefta shel Edos in and of itself. It's like functions independent. So I would actually crisscross these. I would. But that's sort of a second. That's depends on your, you know, how you want to go with this. And now, just in, so, just as a cool point, this actually comes up as a machlokes in the Rishonim. Rabbi Victor Cohen said that one of the Balei Tosos with a very Gishmak name, he says that Tainas Mizuyah works. You can claim that it's Mizuyah, and we'll believe you, right? But if you tie it with Paraiti, it doesn't work. Right? Meaning you can, if you claim that it's a fake, so we'll say, oh, well, like Shtar is a fake, right? We don't know that it's a Shtar. But if it's, but we don't believe that it's Paraiti, the Orzarua says the opposite. He says, we'll believe you when you say Paraiti, but we won't believe you to say the Shtar is a fake. Which is Gufa, exactly this Machlokes, right? Is a shtar a chavtushal edus, it contains edus in it. In which case, you can't say that the shtar is fake, because the shtar says, I'm not fake, right? It contains edus. You're contradicting edus when you say that the shtar is fake. If you argue about the implication of the shtar, right, we want to say that this shtar implies that you never pay back. So I can always argue, you're right, it implies that I never paid back, but I actually did. That doesn't contradict the Shtar, right? As opposed to for Rashi says, no, of course, in terms of arguing the Shtar is a fake, that's not bad. That's okay, that makes sense, right? Who says that the Shtar is real? We assume that, but that was an assumption. But in terms of not paying back, I have an ironclad logical argument that if you still have the shtar, I didn't pay back. Because shtar chabiyagi, my boy. So in terms of umdinaz, right, if I don't acknowledge the validity of the shtar, I have no basis to assume anything, right? Once you challenge the validity of the shtar, then why I can't learn anything from it. Once I acknowledge that the shtar is real, then I won't be able to say that I paid back, because that just doesn't make sense, right? As opposed to, if we look at the shtar, not as, right, not from its practical implications, but from its formal legal eidos implications, then the shtar testifies to its own validity. But what does it not necessarily do? Right? It doesn't necessarily prove that you never pay back. Right? That's an application of the shtar. It's an implication of the shtar, but it's not part and parcel of what the shtar is. So ironically, right, you could argue two totally opposite ways of looking at the self-protection of a shtar. I can argue that a shtar self-protects itself, and therefore you can't say that the shtar is possible, right? What you could do is say, the shtar is kosher, but, you know, you're drawing the wrong conclusion because I already paid back. You're only denying the implications of the shtar, right? But what's ironic about that is that your shtar just sort of stands all by itself and testifies. It's like self-fulfilling. On the other hand, for Rashi, we'll say, oh, if you challenge the ultimate validity of the shtar, then we could just say, oh, yeah, okay, no good, no shtar, right? But once you acknowledge the validity of the shtar, can't prove itself to be true, right? That would be self-fulfilling. That would be self-referential. But once you acknowledge the shtar as being a true shtar, then the conclusions we draw from that are very, very compelling. And those can't be challenged. Right? And therefore, you could, according to Rashi, you could be towing Mizuyaf, but you can't be towing Paraiti. Well, according to the Tosafot and Reb Chaim, you can be towing Paraiti maybe, but you definitely can't be towing Mizuyaf. Right? And Gufa, that's exactly why. So Rashi says, why do we assume that the Edom are kosher? So he says, oh, because there was a lawyer present, right? So we can assume that the lawyer made sure everyone did everything properly, right? We can always assume that people took it seriously. Tosafot says, why do we assume that the Eidos was only done by Kasher Edim and the rest are there for other reasons? Because the Shtar says so, right? The Shtar testifies to its own validity, which means that I know that the Edim who signed are Kasher Edim. That is pretty, just very, very cool application. And then, one more way of just sort of putting things out is, if we go back to our original way of dishing out the logic behind shtaros, right, we had a third option, the Hodas Baldin option, which is the one we kind of, was our pet svara. Right? So he said, of course, if it's a question of chazaka, anan sadi, like the Nesivos was focusing on, right, then it just depends on how convinced we are. Right? If it's a din eidos, so we should ignore a challenge to the validity of the shtar itself, because that would contradict eidos. But what if it works through hodas baldin? So then, I think you could have the following breakdown. Hodas baldin actually really lets you say that we could split between different parts of your challenge to the shtar, right? If the Baal denies having written it, then he's undermining our ability to say that this is Hodas Baldin, right? If he says, I never wrote the shtar, so then what? Well, it's not Hodas Baldin anymore, right? So that could really undermine the whole shtar. If he says Paraiti, we throw him out of town because Hodas Baldin contradicts his taina of Paraiti, right? Now, what if we didn't attack the validity of the shtar as mezuyaf, but we wanted to challenge the validity of the eidim, right? Let's say we said, oh, the chasimos of the eidim, some of them are pasul, maybe some of the eidim were pasul, right? The case we're dealing with right now. So in terms of Hodas Baldin, I would argue that we could be very cavalier, perhaps, with the chasimos of the Eidim. Why? Because the Iker Eidos of the Shtar isn't coming from the Eidim, right? The Iker Eidos of the Shtar is coming from Hodas Baldin to be Eidim now. The Eidim are there to give objective weight to the Hodas Baldin. But the fundamental edus is coming from the Hodas Baldin, right? They're just objectifying it. It could be the Hodas Baldin, which is independent of the Chasimos Edim, is testifying to the validity of the Chasimos Edim, right? Which sort of solves our tricky problem. Because what's our tricky problem? We only knew
that the Eidos, that the Shvar is kosher and it's a Chamsa Shel Eidos because we're trusting the that it's not Mezuyah, right? And we know it's not Mezuyah because it's a Chamsa Shel Eidos. It's still circular, right? Now you could say it's circular, but ultimately, when the Shtar gets to us, it gets to us as a Shtar. So it's fine, right? We have a Shtar. You're challenging the Shtar. You're the one, you know, you're the one who's changing the status quo. But you could say that really the Shtar works because of Hodas Bavli. Right? So we can challenge, it can challenge the Mizuyah. Then that's a good question, right? That's valid, right? You should be Choshesh. Because you're undermining the Hodas Bavli. If we're talking about Karaiti, we would say, get out of town, right? Hodas Baldin says that there was no Pira, right? But if we're talking about Kasimos Eden, Kasimas Pasol, then what are we going to say? Then I would say, maybe we're not Hoshesh, because, very simply, the Hodas Baldin, right, is negated that it's a valid shtar. Right? And it gets, it's not circular anymore. The Hodas Valdin is what's saying that the Chasimos are kosher. The Hodas Valdin is what's saying there's no parakti. The Chasimos Eden only come in to say that the Hodas Valdin is, you know, is objective and no longer Hodas Baldin B'makom Shechav L'Achrim, right? It makes it objective, it gives it a sort of like Eidei Kiyum broader validity, but ultimately, the real Eidos comes from the Hodas Baldin. In which case, the only time you could really challenge the get is if you say that it's Mezuyah. Because if the Baal says it's Mezuyah, because then he's denying that there was ever Hodas Baldin. And then we need to establish that there was Hodas Baldin on someone. Okay, and that is no longer short. Okay, just to throw in like a very regal achas reference to Eidei Mesira and Eidei Chasima, it just plays out very nicely the question in terms of whether or not we're talking ultimately about an umdina versus ultimately about right, the shtar is Eidos. Right? The more you see, if you say Eidos Bichtav is Eidos, so you can say, oh, Eidei Chasima work because you could just do it, have Eidos Bechtav. If you think Eidos Bechtav doesn't work, so you say, oh, you really need Eidei Mesira, right? Fine. That's really how Tosfos deals with it. If you want to talk, if you think it works in terms of, right, our umdinas, our idea over here, that fundamentally the Shtar, right, is, gives us an ansadi, it convinces us that this must be what happened, then Eidei Chasima makes a lot of sense, again, right? Because, but that's a big chiddush. You have to assume that by having this overpowering umdina, you can accomplish Eidos even without actual Eidim present, right? The Sanan Sa'adi idea. But then you can say, oh, I have Eidei Chasima, and then I get to the end result, right? And in terms of Reb Chaim, let's say, you mean, right, this chiddush of saying, oh, no, Shtar is really a totally different category of thing that really exists by itself, right? It exists based on the assistance of, you know, its own logical construct. When you're done with Eidei Mesira, it's a lot simpler, right? Because the Ksav isn't necessarily doing anything other than expressing a manifestation of the Baal's Das. You don't need all these chidushim in order to explain Eidei Mesira Karti, because really the Eidim who are physically present right there are the ones who are really doing it. Right? They're present. They see what's happening. Once they see what's happening, of course you have two Eidim, right? You don't need any of these big chidushim to explain why Eidei Mesira could and should work. Right? The reason why you might, even if you held of all these other ideas, you would still need Eidei Mesira, could potentially be something along the lines of this middle Hodas Baldinch idea that
really what makes the shtar work as a chefzah shel shtar, even with edim mesira, is the shtar. Why? Where are the edim in the shtar? That's just the shtar is the edim lehodas baldin. The edim mesira are there. It's edim kiyum operating on the hodas baldin that's being presented in the shtar, independent of those two edim. They're just there to confirm it. So that just could be a good model for this idea that I've been hawking of hodas baldin being the potential edus root for shtars. Okay, so we're gonna stop here. The next Git and Shirin are gonna start on Yotet with the sugya of what makes a what do you do when you're actually making a shtar? How do you write it? What does it need? Davar shel kayama, ksav shel kayama, ksav gabi ksav. Do you have to write it, you know, this way, that way, the other way? What can you write it on, right? And song and process, which is also very, very, very good stuff. A lot of good sikhs there. I think we're going to start those after Pesach. The next couple of shiurim, we're going to do Pesach stuff, because Pesach's in like a week. So I just sent out the koros for next year on Heseba. Okay? No one objects to...